This week in the parish of Bourses and Market Structure. Amidst typhoon warnings, there's a Sino-St. Petersburg pivot and more funding for ABACs as Johannesburg starts a cloud hop, while the big sale of the week is Bourse Dubai trimming their NASDAQ stake. My name is Patrick L. Young. Welcome to the Bourse Business Weekly Digest. It's the Exchange Invest Weekly Podcast, episode 237. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. This is a very brief reduction of highlights amongst the key headlines from the week in market structure. All the analysis of the many events and happenings from the past 7 days can be found in Exchange Invest's daily subscriber newsletter, the unique guide to the Bourse business, sent daily to your inbox. More details at exchangeinvest.com. Plaudits to the Ice House podcast on marking 400 episodes recently, and this week they have a phenomenal guest, self-made billionaire investment titan Ken Griffin, who made a magnificent case for Miami, South Florida as a financial center and the ongoing wonder of America as a whole. And I quote,
"One of the great parts of the U.S. capital markets is its vibrancy, and you see that in daily turnover continuing to be strong, and you see it in the continued breadth of market participants in the U.S. equity market. And we need to make sure that we're well positioned to continuously provide competitive prices, to manage risk, and to allow our capital markets to function at their highest possible ability."
Those are the words of billionaire investor Ken Graham. I'm only giving you a glimpse of the show. It really deserves a listen in its entirety as episode 406 of the Inside the Ice House podcast. Ken Griffin Boca, the evangelist for making the migration to Wall Street South, is a must listen. Over in Boca, it was great to similarly hear the exchange leaders promoting US markets. Adina Friedman presciently pointed out how money flows continue to be global, even if politics are becoming more local. So from our perspective as a technology partner to global exchanges and regional exchanges, domestic exchanges, they want to get themselves to a point where they can attract as much capital as possible. On the question of geopolitics, the new world order, and how that shapes decision-making, Jeff Sprecher illuminated the panel session with some fascinating insights. Again, in his own words, "It's interesting because we, my company, and many of my colleagues, our peers who are here, we build global businesses. We built our technical businesses in an era where the internet could take you across borders, and the regulators around the world accommodated that, and we're kind of de-globalizing now." Interesting words from Jeff Sprecher, the founder and chairman CEO of ICE. All of the information about those panels was in our Exchange Invest daily newsletter, of course. Meanwhile, moving on to BitCarnage. Perhaps the fastest crypto move of the week was a real-time court T+1 judgment, faster than a Bitcoin blockchain, albeit with the full judgment to come in a few weeks' time. After 6 weeks in court, Mr. Justice Meller ruled that the evidence was overwhelming that Craig Wright was not Satoshi the Bitcoin inventor. Ahead of his fairly lengthy ruling in the summary, he noted, "I will make certain declarations which I am satisfied are useful and are necessary to do justice between the parties. First, that Dr. Wright is not the author of the Bitcoin white paper. Second, Dr. Wright is not the person who adopted or operated under the pseudonym Satoshi Nakamoto in the period 2008 to 2011. Third, Dr. Wright is not the person who created the Bitcoin system. And fourth, he is not the author of the initial versions of the Bitcoin software." Market of the week was in SBF's sentencing. A wide 6.5 to 50 is the current range between the defence and prosecution, respectively. At the same time, as SBF raised the question, "Am I a depraved supervillain?" Elsewhere, a memo emerged of a proposed SBF MAGA journey, which was so outrageous it is hilarious. An exasperated Jeff John Roberts at Fortune writes, Every time you think Sam Bankman-Fried can't possibly get more despicable, he proves you wrong. The latest example comes in the form of a secret memo he wrote to himself following the collapse of his fraudulent crypto empire. That is in an article headlined, Sam Bankman-Fried's Secret Tucker Carlson Plan is Cynical but Not Surprising. Not only was SBF about to dump his lefty leanings of effective altruism and go full MAGA via Tucker Carlson, gosh, come to think of it, maybe he could have done a three-way interview with Vladimir Putin. Meanwhile, in what may be the greatest moment in crypto philanthropy, or not just another day, where a crypto bro tries to gamify the justice system, CZ has announced outline information on his next big project weeks before his sentencing hearing. Giggle Academy is going to offer free basic education for all from grade 1 to grade 12-ish, he claims. While busy gamifying education, of course, CZ has not at any moment given any thought to gamifying the justice system by appearing cute and cuddly just before his sentencing hearing. At the same time, CZ or his consulting representatives look very slick, whereas SBF, with his Tucker Carlson pivot thesis, looks like, at best, a dweeb. Anyway, some might call it a forfud. Others may even say a spot of education is better from CZ than none at all for the underprivileged. Finally, Bakkt swapped out their CEO for another board member as they desperately try to stay listed on NASDAQ and secure sufficient funding to survive. If you enjoyed this excerpt, you may be interested to know you can read BitCarnage every day in Exchange Invest. Alternatively, if you want to follow BitCarnage, the daily update and happenings in the world of crypto and digital assets, you can find BitCarnage as a standalone on Substack.
Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly. We welcome your feedback. You can contact me directly, patrick@derivativesvision.com, with any comments. Meanwhile, if you enjoyed this show, we would welcome you giving us a thumbs up. Or if you have time, a positive review will always be welcome, wherever you find this podcast.
In the major exchange news of the week, first up, Hong Kong exchanges. They're scaling back their plans for opening the stock market in typhoons, but nonetheless, progress to open the Hong Kong market during extreme weather is being made, even if it doesn't include the strongest of typhoons. Meanwhile, LCH is joining CME and ICE in looking towards throwing their hat into the ring to clear US treasuries, while the London Metals Exchange is proposing a new warehouse for metals, specifically copper and zinc, in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. On T+1 News, EFAMA, that's the European Fund Managers Association, they are not worried about US stocks trading and settling T+1 per se. It's the inability of the Forex utility CLS to actually clear cash Forex, which concerns them, understandably. Don't forget, you can still catch my T+1 article in this month's Vermiculus newsletter, which is available at vermiculus.se. From Frankfurt, news emerges that DB1 is building a dark pool for equities. Very interesting news, as DB1, of course, had a partnership with Liquidnet years ago, which the buy side got very upset about, and DB dumped with a low latency spineless shuffle. Nowadays, both DB1 and Euronext are eager to have their own block platforms. Alas, Liquidnet never quite made the best of their first mover advantage for many reasons. In Russia, SPYMEX, the St. Petersburg International Mercantile Exchange, makes a Sino-pivot from St. Petersburg, with US stock trading having been challenged by sanctions on Russia. Now the exchange is moving to offer Chinese shares on its platform. In new markets this week, the Ethiopian Securities Exchange edges closer to the launchpad, with Ethio Telecom being rumoured as first offering, but there's no mention of that hyper-optimistic unicorn valuation of $1 billion. In Zimbabwe, the Victoria Falls Stock Exchange will launch a mineral commodities exchange in conjunction with DGCX Dubai. And indeed, there was a cornucopia of new market announcements this week. More can be found, of course, in Exchange Invest Daily, the exchange of information. Deals news, again, a busy week for deals in the parish. All the deals were in Exchange Invest Daily, the newsletter no person can afford to be without in capital markets and market structure. For the sake of this podcast, let's look at some edited highlights. Two stories this week. A BlackRock-based commodities exchange startup, Abax, have raised yet more cash. They've been on a semi-perma feat of money raising for quite some time. The latest began as a Canadian dollar $9.9 million round, and it appears to have morphed, all at a roughly 10% discount to the stock price, to something approaching $16 million Canadian dollars by the time we were recording this podcast. We've mentioned before how Abex were close to their final preparations in recent weeks in this podcast, and also, of course, in Exchange Invest. They also raised $27 million at the start of this year, as reported in EI 2855 on January the 5th, and their first strategic financing investor was announced in EI 2737 on August the 16th, 2023, while in EI 2200 we reported about their $50 million brokered private placement spin-out of their Base Carbon Corporation. Nonetheless, Abex was not the biggest deal of the week. That fell to a partial stake sale as Bourse Dubai sold down $1.6 billion of Nasdaq stock. That means Bourse Dubai are no longer the largest shareholder in Nasdaq. They've fallen from 15.5% to a still very significant 10.8%. That still gives them the opportunity to nominate members of the board. However, Thoma Bravo now become the largest single shareholder in the Nasdaq exchange with a 12.5% stake. If you're trying to work out how technology is affecting life and markets, don't forget to check out my most recent book, Victory or Death, Blockchain, Cryptocurrency and the FinTech World. That's published by DV Books, and Victory or Death is distributed by Ingram Worldwide. While you're waiting for your copy of Victory or Death to arrive, check out our live stream Tuesdays, 5 o'clock London time, 1 o'clock New York time. It's the IPO Video Live Show. Catch the back episodes on LinkedIn and YouTube via IPO-Vid. Our most recent show was an epic and wonderfully happy affair. We were speaking to Professor Gunnar Stefansson in Iceland all about Smileycoin and the happy face of crypto. We're going to have a further very exciting and positive discussion coming next week. IPO Vid 137, Modernizing Markets with Magnus Haglund. He's the boss of Marketplace Technology Sales for the Nasdaq Group, and that's going to be coming out usual time, usual place, of course, live on YouTube, LinkedIn, and X Twitter. You can catch the Magnus Haglund Show, Modernizing Markets, IPO Vid 137. That's going to come out at 1 o'clock Eastern this week due to slight curvature of the Earth issues, which is going to be 5 o'clock London time. Meanwhile, our finance book of the week is Niall Ferguson's classic, The Ascent of Money, bringing Niall Ferguson's signature clarity and expert lens to bear on appreciating that while many may resent the plutocrats of Wall Street, the evolution of finance has rivaled the importance of any technological innovation in the rise of civilization. So, to study the ascent and descent of money is to study the rise and fall of Western power itself. Our next book of the week, by the way, will be unveiled on Saturday in the EI Weekend edition. We don't charge for that. That's our macro special. And actually coming out this weekend, we have an epic. It's a Haiti crisis special edition. You can get that edition and all future weekend editions by hopping over to exchangeinvest.com and ticking the subscription button for the free weekend newsletter. Don't forget, while you're at it, you could also avail yourself of a free 30-day trial all about the bourse business sent daily to your inbox by subscribing to Exchange Invest via exchangeinvest.com. It's only $375 per annum to join the exchange of information. There was lots of product news this week. I'm not going to go into the details. There were particularly a heap of index launches, indices and index futures aplenty. All of that news was in Exchange Invest Daily, the bulletin of the bourse business. However, in technology, we had a couple of epic stories. First of all, the Johannesburg Stock Exchange and Amazon Web Services are collaborating to evolve the technology, enable and transform capital markets. Quite a shift for both AWS and JSE. It's a very interesting move for the Johannesburg Stock Exchange Group, as it would appear their entire tech stack could be replaced along the way into the cloud. It's sensible on every level, including the appallingly erratic concept of South African infrastructure in the modern age. Alas, thus the cloud makes a lot of sense. What next for LSEG Tech, given that some say the first JSE knew that LSEG had stopped selling technology systems was when they read about it in Exchange Invest? One other piece of good news this week, Aquis Technologies, they've secured a contract with the Central Bank of Colombia. Good news for the London-based Exchange and Technology Group. In regulation, the US CFTC's Benham is saying that he's writing a new policy on prediction markets. Absolutely overdue, cannot come soon enough. As far as I can see, prediction markets need to be enabled and the CFTC needs to get its act together under Chairman Benham. Some sort of act of redemption compared to his crypto disasters, including, of course, his cheerleading for SBF and FTX in the past. Meanwhile, the UK regulator, the Prudential Regulatory Authority, has migrated its rules to a single site of truth. Hooray! You can find a PRA rulebook site via the FCA. Career path this week. Troy Kane, a director at Citadel Securities, is leaving his role for a position at exchange operator Miami International Holdings. Alexander Keck is becoming the new CEO of the Global Legal Entity Identifier Foundation, GLEIF, and Forb Global has appointed capital markets veteran Larry Leibovitz, the brother of comedian Jon Stewart, to its board of directors. Finally, this week in Career Paths, let's say a hearty word of congratulations to the laureates inducted into the FIA Hall of Fame last week. I was particularly delighted to see former Life Chairman and Master of my guild company, the guild company of which I happen to be a liveryman, the Worshipful Company of World Traders, Jack Wigglesworth, being nominated for the FIA Hall of Fame, alongside Marquette co-founders Jim Hines and Rob Moore amongst the nominees. Other recipients included CBOT Chairman Charles Carey, who of course has served as Deputy Chairman of the CME for a long time, the former CME CRO Timothy Dore, former CFTC staffer and now Capital Council GC Diana Dow, and likewise it was great to see John Lothian recognised for his newsletter of the futures markets alongside Nick Forgan, John Munro, Leslie Sutphen, Pat White, and posthumously William Mallers Sr. Alas, we've got to end with a trigger warning today. The following may cause alarm from the ecological angle. China last year accounted for no less than 96% of global coal power capacity construction, with domestic coal production hitting a record of 4.6 billion metric tons. That was up 2.9% year on year, according to the National Bureau of Statistics. And on that mysterious and magnificent note, thank you for listening to this Exchange Invest Weekly Podcast number 237. Join us daily via exchangeinvest.com, or if you have a new exchange you'd like built, get in touch. My name is Patrick L. Young, and I wish you a great week in life and markets. This show relates to the business of bourses. It is not to be construed as investment advice, nor are we making any investment recommendations. Please consult an investment advisor before you make any investments, and for goodness sake, do your due diligence and do not make investments without complying with the regulations in your home state. Exchange Invest cannot be held responsible for any investment decisions made as a result of our program, which is for entertainment purposes only. The material herein is copyright Patrick L. Young at the date of publication, while our music and sound effects are sourced from copyright-free sources. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly, the exchange of information.